Well, good morning, everyone, and glad you could join us this morning as we continue in our series in 1 Samuel as we explore the life of David. This morning, we are going to be hanging out in chapters 18 to 20, and we are going to be contrasting two kind of themes here. We're going to juxtapose them against themselves because I think really that's kind of what the text does on its own. And so as we go through it, I want to bring out two themes. So the first theme is deep friendship. And you know, isn't this something that we all long for? Deep friendship? I mean, if you've experienced it, if you've had that kind of deep connection with somebody where you look out for one another, where you care for one another, you stand up for one another, you have one another's backs, and you connect on a kind of a soul level. If you've had those kinds of deep, meaningful friendships, you know how life-giving they are. On the flip side of that, when we don't have deep friendship, deep relationship, don't we just long for it? Don't we desire it? There's a loneliness that exists when we don't have these kinds of connections in our lives. So one of the themes that we're going to juxtapose and see come out this morning is this idea of deep friendship and how much value it has in our lives. The second theme that we're going to see juxtaposed against this is the idea of envy and jealousy and resentment and this kind of like wanting what the other person has and how it just begins to just crush our soul and destroy us as we latch on to envy in our own lives, and how detrimental that can be, most significantly to ourselves, but also to relationships we have with others when we allow envy to take a foothold in our lives. So with that in mind, we're going to jump into the text. We're going to start in chapter 18. But as we do, I want you to think about this juxtaposition. The power of love to protect and build up versus the power of envy to tear down and destroy. You're going to see both of these themes running through the text as we jump in. So 1 Samuel chapter 18, we're going to start right at the beginning, verse 1. It says, after David finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. This is this idea, you know, like in our culture, sometimes we talk about like soulmates or kindred spirits. This is the kind of idea, like they just have this deep connection. They feel almost like this oneness with one another, like, wow, we just connect on a soul level in a big way. And I love you as I love myself, just as Jesus teaches later in the gospel to love your neighbor as you love yourself. We see it lived out here in the life of Jonathan. He loves David deeply, and David loves him deeply. This is this deep friendship that we were referring to as we started off. Let's continue. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic, and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Now, this last verse is very significant. Because Jonathan in this moment, when he takes off his royal robes and places them on David and takes off his armor and gives them to David, this is very symbolic. He is saying to David, I value this friendship more than the kingdom. Than being the king one day, this means more to me. He's realized that deep relationship is more important than power and prestige. This is what is happening in this moment. He is choosing to put a deep, meaningful friendship with David over power and prestige. He's saying by this symbolic gesture, I would lay down my throne for you. I mean, what a powerful gesture this is. And what an example to us to be willing to lay down our own power and prestige, you know, our own comfort for the sake of another, for the sake of having that deep connection with another human being. What an incredible gesture we see here by Solomon. But yet, if we continue on, we're going to see the opposite begin to play out as well. So as we continue, it says, whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. So David's having a lot of success military-wise. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. So David's gaining popularity here. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the woman came out from the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing and with joyful songs and with timbrels and lyres. And as they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his ten of thousands. Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. And this close eye, this isn't the close eye like, oh, I'm going to keep a close eye on that person. They're very promising. I might want to promote them. This is like a close eye as in, I'm looking out for this guy because I think he's coming for my throne, and I don't like that. This guy is a threat to me. That's the kind of close eye it's talking about. And then it says, the day... And then we see that from that day, an evil spirit came up forcefully on Saul. Okay? And it says from the Lord in the verse, actually, which to us seems a bit confusing, but from the Jewish way of thinking in that time, it's God created everything, and so everything inevitably goes back to God because he's the creator of all. So they weren't actually necessarily saying directly that this evil spirit came from God, but they're saying they didn't really distinguish. If a spirit came, inevitably they credited everything back to God because he was the creator of all. He's the one that allowed evil to exist. They didn't see the need to justify in that season. For us, that we read that and we go, whoa, wait, what? But for them, that wasn't an issue in the way that they thought in that time. But that aside, I want to point out a few things here. The first is this, right? We see Saul, right after he starts becoming envious of David, this evil spirit comes upon him. And I want to point out a quote by Alex L. He says, being envious is poisonous to your spirit. I want to read that again. Being envious is poisonous to your spirit. When we choose envy, when we choose to see other people as a threat to our power, our prestige, when we look at them and say, I wish I had their talent, or I had their looks, or I had their whatever it might be, the person that the most damage is done to is us. Envy poisons our own spirit. And when we open ourselves up, when we start to envy people, we open up a door for a foothold for the enemy, for the evil one. And this is what begins to happen. It begins to become this snowball effect, as we're going to see in Saul's life. Once we let envy in the door, it wants to bring a few friends. It wants to bring resentment. And it wants to bring hatred. Being envious is poisonous to your soul. And right after this, we see David is actually playing the lyre, which is a musical instrument, and Saul actually throws a spear at him and tries to kill him. It's already escalated very quickly to the point where Saul is so angry, so envious of David, that he seeks to kill him. And what does it say? It says in verse 12, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David, but had departed from Saul. Look it. There's something I want to point out here because you're going to see it as we keep going. It's a pattern. And that's this. It's a quote by Balthazar Gracian. He says, "The envious die not once, but as oft as the envied win applause." So we see here, David wins applause from the people, right? Oh, he's killed his tens of thousands. He wins applause from people, and Saul becomes envious. And a part of him, there's a part of him that dies. There's a part of him that gives in to darkness. And we're going to see that as we go through the text, that every time David gets more and more applause and becomes more and more popular, the darkness within Saul seems to grow. It escalates. The envious die not once, but as oft as the envy win applause. The other thing I want to point out here is this. You see, it says that Saul was afraid of David. He was afraid that David was going to gain even the throne. And here's the thing about envy. Envy is primarily fueled by fear and our own insecurity. Right? He's afraid of David. Why is he afraid of David? Because David might take his power, might take his prestige. David might be more talented than him. People like David more than him. So we see that this is becoming fueled more and more. His envy is becoming fueled more and more by his fear and his insecurity. It's not because of anything David himself did. I mean, if he would take a step back, and Jonathan's going to point this out to him later in the story, if he would take a step back and think about it, every victory that David wins against Saul's enemies is actually a victory for Saul. But he doesn't see it that way. He sees it as a threat because he has allowed fear and insecurity to control his thinking. And when we do this, envy tends to escalate and become something deeper. It tends to become resentment and left long enough, even hatred. So, after this, Saul tries all kinds of tricks. First of all, he tries to offer his older daughter to him, but he's not offering her to him because he likes David. He suddenly had a change of heart. He's thinking to himself, okay, my enemies are the Philistines. If I offer my daughter to him, then he's now more affiliated with me, and the Philistines will hate him even more because of that. And maybe the Philistines will be so angry that they'll finally finish off David and this problem will be solved for me. And the funny thing is, what does Saul start to do? He starts to put David higher and higher in the army and give him more and more troops. And he keeps putting David at the front of the line, expecting the Philistines to kill David for him. But David just keeps having more and more and more success, which only fuels the envy of Saul. As people praise him more, as he has more victories, Saul just becomes more and more envious. And so finally, he sees that his daughter, Mishael, loves David. And so he thinks to himself, okay, here's my opportunity. It didn't work when I tried to give my daughter to David the first time because David was humble and he said, who am I to become the king's son-in-law? So maybe the second time around, this could work. This could work. But again, David's like, you know, like, who am I? And he says, okay, fine, David, you can earn this. You can earn this by going, and I'm sorry, this is a little bit morbid and disturbing, but this is what the text says. He says, you can earn this by going out and getting for me the foreskins of 100 Philistines. So David says, okay, that sounds good. So David actually comes and brings him the foreskins of 200 Philistines, because that's what everyone wants for a present. But apparently, that's what Saul asked for, and David gave him double. Again, more success. And Saul just gets angry and gets angry, and he tries to actually now capture David in his home. But Michelle, or however you say it, she actually plays a trick on him and puts an idol in the bed and says, oh, David's sick. And then when they come back, when they go tell the king this and come back, they check the second time and they realize it's an idol. But by that time, it's too late. David has left. He's fleed. And here's the thing. It keeps saying that Saul became more and more afraid of David. And he's trying to kill David. And finally, the next step that he takes is that he goes to his son Jonathan and all the attendants. This is chapter 19 now. And he tries to convince them that they should kill David. And here's the amazing thing, though. Good friends, they'll stand up for you. And this is exactly what Jonathan does. He stands up to Saul for David. And I want you to listen to what it says. We're in chapter 19 now, verse 4. And it says, Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hands when he killed the Philistine. The Lord won a great victory for all of Israel, and you saw it and were glad. Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason? And it says that Saul listened to Jonathan and took this oath and said, as surely as the Lord lives, David will not be put to death. So Jonathan called David and told him the whole conversation, and he brought him to Saul, and he was with Saul as before. Okay. So, we see that David gets stood up for, and it seems like the story is beginning to change. But David